Morning.
Sorry for delaying the start of the meeting. I was thinking someone else was doing the meeting. I don't have a hard copy of the agenda. We will use the one on the screen. And may we welcome a representative from the Office of the Auditor General and the Department of Planning, the DPSA. And we were also expecting the financial and fiscal commission, but the committee secretary will touch on that when he presents the apologies. Can we then move to item number 2? We welcome the department. We welcome the deputy minister. And we welcome members of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Excuse me. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, I would like to present some apologies that we have received. Firstly, it will be the apology which is indicated in the agenda. Yesterday afternoon, after interaction, I received an email from the Commission of Financial and Fiscal Commission saying that they are busy. They'll be going out to the provinces, so they cannot make it to our committee, which they were supposed to give the Portfolio Committee a briefing on the financial performance of the department. And then on the side of the members of the Portfolio Committee, I have the apology of Honorable Tsapa. Honorable Tsapa is out with the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture. They are conducting public hearings on one of the pieces of legislation of agriculture together with Honorable Mwabe. And then here I've got a sick note for Honorable Mabasa, who is on sick leave. And then I also have an apology of Honorable Begwa, an apology of Reverend Mishwe, who said he will not be able to attend today. He has got a long-standing meeting, but then he will join the committee in the next day. And then I also have an apology of Honorable Mtembu, who share her membership with COCTA. So she has attended the Portfolio Committee on COCTA. So, Chair, those are the apologies that I have received. Thank you.
And Honorable Kruger is here, but is just attending to something outside. He will be joining the meeting. Are those apologies accepted? Did you?
Morning, Chairperson, honourable members. If I can table the apology of the minister, who won't be able to join today or tomorrow due to other commitments.
Thank you very much. Can you then proceed with our agenda and receive a briefing from the Department of Public Services and Administration?
Good morning, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, the DG, and dear colleagues. Thank you very much for this opportunity to present on a follow-up in terms of our previous meeting. Just to indicate, my name is Kenny Govender. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for governance, and part of that responsibility includes the supporting the Minister for Public Service and Administration in dealing with the concurrence of structures from various departments. I have with me Ms. Basmila Jamile, who is the manager responsible for organizational design across the public service. Madam Chair, I want to also indicate up front that this presentation that we prepared for the Portfolio Committee this morning was done in consultation with the Department for Small Business Development. We work very closely with all of the departments in terms of structures. The presentation itself, the purpose why we are here, I'm going to look at some progress in terms of the structure to date. We're going to talk briefly about the transfer of functions and resources from the Department of Trade and Industry, as well as the transfer of funding in respect of incubation programs, as well as looking at the transfer of CIFA from IDC. These were all the issues raised in the meeting that was held on the 2nd of May, 2017. Madam Chair, if we can move on. As indicated, on the 2nd of May 2017, the DPSA presented to the Portfolio Committee progress on the organizational structure of the Department of Small Business Development. The PC considered the presentation by DPSA and made a number of recommendations that required of DPSA to work very closely with Department of Small Business Development to ensure that we have a structure in place as soon as possible. As DPSA, subsequent to the meeting of 2nd of May, we met with officials jointly between DPSA and Department of Small Business on the 29th of June. The main purpose of that was to agree on the way forward and to ensure between ourselves there's a clear understanding in terms of the recommendations arising from the Portfolio Committee. A follow-up meeting was held on the 29th of September, and that was to get the latest progress report, and this presentation that's presented today is based on that discussion of the 29th of September, and it provides the latest update as to where we are. In that regard, the first item we're going to look at is the structure and the progress as at the 28th of September, as indicated by Department of Small Business Development in discussions. In respect of the functional and organizational structure of the Department of Small Business Development, we need to note the following. One, the department has finalized its service delivery model, and that has already come to DPSA for finalization. All posts have been transferred from the DTI, have been catered for on the approved startup structure. The intention is to ensure that we accommodate all existing employees first in terms of the startup structure, and as a parallel process deal with the final structure that the department wants to put in place. Placement on the startup structure has been completed and submitted to the DPSA for record purposes, and we have receipt of that. The department continued with the redesign process, and there's been ongoing discussion between DPSA and Department of Small Business Development in relation to the redesign process. And in particular, priority was given to Branch 2, which is Sector Policy and Research. That was part of the debates in the May meeting. The business case is evolving to reflect the nature of the operational requirements. It's critical to clearly understand the strategic objective of the department, the mandate of the department, and the business model of the department, how it's planning to deliver against its mandate. And all of this finds reflection in the business case, which then evolves to developing into a functional structure for the department. The department, parallel to the process of developing its organizational structure, is also conducting job evaluation and has made substantial progress in the finalization of the job evaluation process. Madam Chair, Honorable Members, this particular slide, I want to apologize, is a bit small, but this gives you the process that the department has set out for itself in terms of the structure review process. And you'll notice that the intention is, with effect from 1 April 2018, is to have the new structure in place and fully functioning. And these then give you the various phases that they hope to follow leading up to 1 April 2018. Phase one is where the department is currently finalizing, and that process is more or less finalized in terms of the placement on the startup structure. As indicated, it's been finalized. All employees have been placed. Phase two, review of the service delivery model, as indicated, has now been finalized as well. Phase three is where the department is currently working. A large chunk of the work is done, but they're still in the process of finalizing. That's the redesign of the business units in terms of the functional structure. Once that's finalized, it will be written up as a organizational structure for the department, clearly defining the functions, the roles and responsibilities the personnel one requires. And then they will approach the Minister for Public Service and Administration for concurrence in terms of that structure. And that's the role DPSA plays in terms of supporting departments as well as supporting the Minister in terms of concurrence. And then finally, it's the implementation of the structure, the matching and placements, the recruitment process, and so on. In terms of the transfer of resources from the DTI, the transfer agreement between the DTI and Department of Small Business Development indicated that there are 165 posts that would be transferred, and that was part of the macro organizing of the state, and that was the 2014 process in terms of that agreement between the Ministers of Small Business Development and the Minister of Trade and Industry jointly with the heads of department at that point. In addition to the 165, there were also a number of support staff that needed to be transferred, and we worked on a pro rata basis there in terms of the total number, and proportionally we then looked at corporate services to indicate how many staff members needed to move across. And I think by agreement, at that stage, it was 10% of staff that needed to move across. It must be noted that it takes a little while for a new organization or a new department to start up, and it took Small Business Development, like all other departments, a period of time to get going. And as indicated, on its own establishment, on PASAL, that only kicked off with effect from April 2015. Madam Chair, as at 19th of May 2015, Small Business Development had 178 posts, of which 143 were filled and 35 were vacant. They have 9 appointments additional to the establishment, and that's to address urgent and immediate needs. In total, currently sitting with a staff establishment of 152 employees. 114 are core staff, and these are posts that transferred from DTI. The department has indicated to us there's still a challenge. There are still a number of posts that have not been transferred, and one of them is that no core staff in respect of export development were transferred. While a transfer reflected 5 posts in terms of the agreement between the two departments, the staff in relation to these posts or the posts were not transferred to Department of Small Business Development. They were returned or retained at DTI. 20 support staff employees were transferred from DTI. These included administrative support staff. Further, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, in terms of the issues raised at the previous meeting, linking of the organisational structure to the mandate of the department was one of the questions and recommendations raised at the last portfolio committee in May, as well as the coordination role of the department in relation to other government departments that perform functions pertaining to cooperatives and SMMEs. In this regard, the department finalized its service delivery model and is in the process of redesigning its organizational structure, which is aligned to the strategic plan and service delivery model, and it will take into account these particular recommendations coming from the portfolio committee. The business case outlined the rationale, and it's clearly enunciated in that business case as well. As indicated, the job evaluation process is currently underway. And finally, the respective organizational structure that has been designed to date caters for the coordination role of the department as raised by the recommendation by the portfolio committee. If we can then briefly look at the proposed organizational structure, and please, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, to indicate this is simply a draft. This is where we are in terms of the process of finalizing a structure, but this is a draft towards a final approved structure for the organization. You'll notice You have the minister at the top, the minister's private office, and that's the office supporting the EAs, deputy minister and the deputy minister's private office, the official supporting the deputy minister, the DG or the office of the DG and the support staff in the office of the DG. But what's important is the core functions at the bottom. The first two, Chief Directorate Financial Management Services and Chief Directorate Strategy Systems and HRMND is your corporate services, or what we commonly refer to as Program 1 Administration. And the three core functions or line functions that we I think is now evolving in terms of this organization is the Sector Policy and Research, Integrated Cooperatives Development, Enterprise Development and Entrepreneurship. Those are the three proposed branches. There's still work to be done in terms of finalizing the functions, the structure, the personnel, the roles and responsibilities, so on. The next three slides, Madam Chair, just unpacks the thinking in relation to the three branches. Branch two, which looks at sector policy and research, and you'll notice that very clearly that the purpose of the branch is to create an enabling environment for the development and growth of sustainable small businesses and cooperatives through the effective to ensure that the desired impact is achieved in contributing towards the creation of employment and economic growth by SMMEs and cooperatives. Below that we have the functions. Those functions are then normally broken down into the various chief directorates or units, and then you have further purposes and functions in terms of those specific. And that's the decomposition of the structures as we design them going forward. So the main purpose of this particular structure is to define the purpose of that branch and to define the function that branch is going to perform. The indicators and the outputs in terms of each of these branches is then reflected in the annual performance plan in terms of how they will operate, and you measure them against those performance plans. The next slide looks at branch three, which is the integrated cooperatives development. And the purpose is to promote an ecosystem that enhances the establishment, growth, and sustainability of cooperatives through the design, piloting, and monitoring of the impact of support services and instruments, championing of functional partnership agreements, the advocacy and thought leadership in advancing economic growth and job creation by cooperatives, and the establishment and governance of the institutional arrangements provided for in the Cooperatives Development Act. Again, and that's further broken down into various units. And Madam Chair, the last one then deals with the final branch, which is enterprise development and entrepreneurship. And it clearly spells out the purpose and the various unpacking. Madam Chair, as I indicated, this is still a draft. This is still work in progress. Even as DPSA, we've raised some issues for the department to consider in the finalization of this particular structure. For example, one of the areas we've asked the department to consider in terms of finalization, do you want to have a separate policy legislation unit, or do you want that integrated into each of your branches? For example, the branch that's dealing with integrated cooperative development, should it not have policy as part of its responsibility, or do you want to separate it? So those are some of the areas that DPSA will work with the department in giving guidance. But I think we need to note the final decision is still a departmental decision. The choice in terms of how they structure themselves and best structure themselves to deliver against their mandate will be the responsibility of the department. DPSA, as I said, the minister plays a consultative role, a concurrence role. We advise, but the decision is still the responsibility of the Minister for Small Business Development in terms of the finalization of the structure. Finally, Madam Chair, in terms of the other outstanding areas that were raised in the meeting of May 2017, one, the department has clearly indicated to us that no funds were transferred from DTI in respect of the incubation support programs, and that's the work we still need to do between DTI, Small Business Development, and DPSA. We've agreed to convene a meeting between the three of us to unpack that agreement that was signed in 2014 to clearly identify those funds that need to be moved. Having said that, there is a clear indication, and the department's indicated, National Treasury has provided some funding and the department is of the view that that's still insufficient for the work that they need to do. And the work between DTI, DPSA, and Small Business Development needs to be clarified in terms of that funding. There's still outstanding work, and that's work in progress, in the development of a new business case, and the understanding is that there needs to be a very clear business case before the transfer of CIFA from the IDC, and the department is in the process of looking at developing that business case, presenting it in terms of the processes currently before CIFA, CEDA, as well as IDC, and jointly between the respective departments before a final decision is made. Again, that is a responsibility and a decision that rests with the Minister for Small Business Development together with the Minister responsible for IDC. And that's a decision DPSA will support once they're ready with the business case. And we will then support them with the formal transfer if required at that point. Madam Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, thank you very much. That's just a broad overview of the work thus far and the support provided between ourselves as DPSA and Department of Small Business Development. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now give an opportunity for members to ask questions and make comments. Honourable Chance, followed by Honourable Mlaotse.
Thank you, Chair. There's a lot to digest here, Mr. Governor. Thank you for the presentation. Just go through, you know, sort of in the same order in which you presented. I'm not quite sure what you mean by the service delivery model. I know that you made reference to the business case or the business model, but if you could just explain to us what is meant by the service delivery model. And also on that same slide, point G, the job evaluation process, what does that actually mean, practically speaking, in terms of the organizational design? It's worrying that we now are in October 2017, and this process is only expected to be completed in the first or second quarter of next year, which is 4 years after the department was formed. So my question is, why did it take so long for your department to get a grip with the DSBD on organizational design? And of course, organizational design follows strategy. And this again raises the question of the time that it has taken for the department to refine its mandate, its strategy, and then its design. Does your department expect there to be any changes resulting from the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, DPME, study that is being commissioned on small business or SME entrepreneurship strategy? You're probably aware of that. Maybe the DG can also contribute to answering that question. One of the things that we became aware of earlier in the year was the transfer of monitoring and evaluation support staff from the DGI wasn't done. And that meant that the cooperatives incentive scheme and several other projects couldn't be properly evaluated for impact. So in addition to the export staff that you referred to, I think we need to also ask why you didn't include the monitoring and evaluation staff in your listing of non-transferred staff, if that is indeed the case. You refer to the coordinating role that the department should play, bearing in mind that government expenditure across departments is roughly three times what the department's own budget is in small business development. So that includes cooperatives. You know, so you have a situation where lots of departments are providing support and grants for the formation of small businesses, the support of small businesses. What do you envisage that oversight role being, or that coordinating role being, for the minister? And what guarantees do we have that that will be, that the other departments will actually listen? Then we have the question of CIFA, which this committee has always had a problem with because of its dreadful performance. Any financial institution that has a impairment rate of close to 50%, you must question its viability. If it is transferred out of IDC, where is the funding going to come from to keep, to keep it going, prevent it from going bust? This committee has also raised the question of, does it make sense to de-link financial from non-financial support? And we have seen time and time again on our oversight visits grants being given to businesses that have a desperate need for financial management training, support in other respects, which CIFA is not geared to provide, but CEDA should be providing. So I think it's important that you consider the viability of merging CEDA and CIFA and looking at a more holistic form of funding. I mean, if you look at all those other agencies that are funding, you've got the IDC, you've got National Empowerment Fund, you've got the NYDA, you've got the Jobs Fund, should you not be taking a bigger view, more umbrella view, rather than just looking at the Department of Small Business? Say, what should be the funding and the support environment for small businesses across the entire economy? And does that not require a more fundamental rethink of the support structures that are put into place? Also, what should be the point of delivery of that support? Because bearing in mind that CIFA and CEDA still have a very minimal footprint, and they don't really have enough visibility in the communities where the funding is needed. So should there not be a look at the extent to which local government, in particular local economic development departments within municipalities, should be capacitated to provide these support services? I think what I'm really getting at is, if you confine your analysis to the status quo, you're not going to be able to answer some of the bigger questions of why support services for small businesses are not delivering the goods. So that would be my suggestion, and I'd like to hear your comments on that. Thank you.
Honourable Mlawu.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks, Mr. Governor, for brief presentation. You will remember very well that when last time you made presentation, the committee has concern in terms of linking the core business issues with the structure. So I will start to ask and to have comments at page 5 on the structure progress. So at B, you said that all post transferred from the DTI has been catered for on the approved startup structure. And according to me, I thought maybe the startup structure was done during 2014 when we started with this department. But now it seems as we're still dealing with the startup problem now in 2017. Why so long since 2014? You are still talking about the startup structure. Maybe you can explain more what is the meaning of this startup structure. And you said in terms of the placement about the startup structure has been completed and submitted to your department for recording purposes, for record purposes. I just want to know, then what, after you recorded it to your department, what is the way forward after this record purposes? The following page is page 6, where you try to make some faces of the structure review. And according to these faces, everything is going to be well catered by the 1st of March 2018. And which means, according to you, this department will start to work actively so to be proper as mandated by the 1st of April 2018. Yes. 2018, which is, it will be the fourth year after 2014, after the establishment of this department. So why is so slow processes to make this department to be effective? Because according to the NDP Vision 2030, which we as an EFF objected that thing, that is not realistic. So it shows that this department can't produce the work as per the NDP, the so-called NDP, because it's going to be very active, maybe from the 1st of April 2018. So page 7, you said the transfer agreement by the DTI about the 165 post will be transferred in respect of the core functions. So the question is, when? We need time frames here. Because just this thing of just say will be transferred is very vague and ambiguous. We don't know when will this thing be transferred. As long as the 10% you said about the support staff in terms of program one, there's no time frame. It's just an open statement. And you said in the bullet number 4 on the same page, number 7, about the 178 post, that 143 were filled and 35 were vacant. So we want to know presently now as we're talking, because this thing of say 35 were vacant, are they still vacant now? As you said, presently. The other thing is about the export development. To export, you decided, or the department decided, I don't know if it's you or it's the department, to return that thing, that 5 post to DTI. Then what is the use and what was the purpose of creating this department? If some of the function you are returning them back to the DTI, what kind of assistance the DTI will do to the small business and cooperatives while we have a specific department which dealing with the small business and the cooperatives, you still retain some of the activities to the DTI. And the department, I would like maybe also to comment on this. Why do you allow now the DTI still do our work in terms of the export development? page 9, the structure itself, as you said, is still a draft. Like now we're on the, about to finish the third year after the establishment of the department. We're still talking about the draft. And we don't have any time frame of finalization of this real structure of the department. And maybe I want also the clarity here on the, maybe it's another naming of the position. When you said Chief Directorate Governance and Support, do you mean the DG and the Chief Directorate Financial, you mean the DDGs? Or you must be clear whether we have DDGs or we have Chief Directors, we have Directors, or is the new shape of the position the government, because the government must be a post must be similar to all departments. Maybe we'll need clarity there. So again, in this directorate, I want to know the exact directorate which will be dealing with the coordinating in terms of transversal agreements with other departments. Because that is the main concern of the portfolio committee, because most of departments, in fact all departments, they are doing supporting, they have budget and support for the small businesses and the cooperatives, and they are doing it on their own. While we have the department to centralize everything, so because that's why I want to know where are the transversal agreement will be managed, because that is very, very important, because this department, there is budget for supporting the small businesses and cooperatives, and they're busy each and every year they're doing that, while the department relevant to that is not aware. It doesn't care, it doesn't even coordinate. Department, they're just doing everything with cooperatives, the agri, it was been opened in Israel as agri-parks. Yes. This relevant department is not aware of those things. So what is the role of this department if they can't have a transversal agreement with the state-owned enterprises? SAA today, or Sandral, or Prasa, they are busy now supporting the SMME and cooperatives. While the department is there, there's nothing the department is doing. So we want to know where is this transfer agreement will be managed in terms of this four branch directorate. So under the branch number two, sector for research and sector of policy and research, I think it's unit number three, international cooperation and trade promotion. It's here on the structure. But again, on the previous slide there, you said no, we return this function back to the DTI. So it's like now this presentation is misleading, because you have it here in the structure where you talk about the functioning of going to the international trade agreements in BRICS, G20 and whatever, but the warm body of doing with working with this international, they're not here. You said you return them to the DTI. So, but this structure, it will need to be funded, to be included in the budget, while the people, those five posts, are then the DTI. Why? The last page, which is page 13. You said in the first bullet that no funds were transferred from DTI in respect of the incubation support program. No funds was transferred. I think, Chairperson, one day we'll need to have DTI in our meetings, because some of the questions, they must tell us what is the reason of not transferring these funds. Apart from that DTI, but you as the principal department, the mother body of the departments, who are supposed to monitor the human resources and the human transfer financial capacity to be transferred to the departments. Why do you allow the DTI not to transfer this incubation support to the small business and cooperatives? So last bullet, you said the new business cases needs to be developed in respect of the transfer of CIFA from IDC. Do you mean from 2014 up to now, you don't have any business strategy approach to transfer CIFA to the department from IDC? What is the delay? What is the problem there? Because the department since was established in 2014, was working with CIFA and CIDA, but is still continuing under the arm of IDC. What is the problem, DBSA? Who's making this thing difficult for CIFA to come straight to be under a department rather than IDC? Lastly, on our first meeting in 2014, we proposed and we always remind the department, can you tell us what to do to change the name of the department to include cooperatives? What is the difficult to do that? Because if the cabinet can make this department to be there, while they can't even amend the name to include cooperatives, what is the problem? Can't you assist SDPSI? Because the department staff, they don't have capacity to do that. Because we've been asking this name to be changed since 2014. Nothing said, and we don't get reports. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can we then give back to the Honourable Chair?
Sorry, Chair. I just wanted to pick up on one point that Honourable Lazib made. And just ask a further clarifying question related to the structure. As I understand it, you have a DG and you have a series of chief directorates. Essentially, you're doing away with the deputy director general positions, which is juniorizing the department from what it's currently. Could you please just explain that, if that is correct, or if not correct, what is the situation? Thank you.
Thank you. Can we have the response?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you very much to the honourable members for those questions. Let me start at the top. Let me firstly clarify the service delivery model. Remember, every department normally operates in terms of a legal framework. The Department of Public Service and Administration has the Public Service Act and regulations under which it works. The Department of Small Business Development has its various legislations that where it derives its mandate in terms of what it needs to do. The service delivery model then determines how you're going to do that work. Now, for example, I'm looking at a simple example. You take Home Affairs as a department. One of the obligations is to process and issue ID documents. They need to process and issue residency permits, process and issue applications for passports, all of those. So that is the services that they provide. The question is, how do they provide that service? Is it going to be done electronically? Is it going to be done manually? Is it going to be done in terms of regional offices? Is it going to be done international offices? So the model says, how are they going to deliver those services? And that delivery model then dictates your structure. If your requirement is, and I'm using Home Affairs as a simple one, which requires of you to have a presence internationally in terms of the various embassies that we have, it needs you to have a presence across the country as close as possible to the people to apply for IDs, to apply for passports and so on, you will then have a structure that responds to that service delivery model. So the model speaks to the manner in which you're going to deliver your services, electronically, physically, manually, paper-driven, whatever. So that, and as the innovation expands, as the technology expands, you then amend your structure to cater for those things as you go along. So that broadly is what a service delivery model is about, and it ranges. For example, DPSA as a totally separate service delivery model from Home Affairs. Home Affairs is a frontline service delivery department that services clients. DPSA is a policy department, so it'll look different from a department like Home Affairs. So that's your service delivery model. In the same breath, job evaluation. Job evaluation is a system that government uses to evaluate every single job in government to ensure we apply the principle, what we call equal work for work of equal value. So before a post is determined at what salary level it is, it must be job evaluated. And the job evaluation then translates into the various salary levels. We have 16 salary levels in the public service, starting with your level 1 all the way to your director general at salary level 16. And the job evaluation system that's approved by the Minister of Public Service, that's used in the public service, is evaluate.
Mr. Carpenter?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you also have an eye contact with the chairperson so that
you
notice when I want to speak?
Thank you, ma'am. Sorry. So the job evaluation system is a system that we agree on and we use. It's to determine all of the salaries of government. You can determine a job today as part of your structure, but before you determine what level that job is, you must do a job evaluation. And that's, and it's a uniform system for the entire government to be used, called Evaluate. DPSA manages the system.
Can I interject on that one? Can we go back one step on the issue of the service delivery model? I'm glad that you have explained that, and I'm sure that the service delivery model will also be informed by the core mandate of a department and also the nature of service that is provided by a department. To simplify that, you have made an example of the Department of Home Affairs and the Department of Public Service and Administration. There is this perception all the time that national departments are policy-making departments. Yes, they have an element of policy-making, but their core businesses differ. Like the Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation will make policies, but it's a service delivery department. Now, this department is a developmental department. It's not a service delivery department, meaning that its core business has to do more with human beings, not the infrastructure, which then would require, but also the department is also mandated to coordinate what is being done to develop small businesses and cooperatives. Then the coordination, which is, has always been a bone of contention between the department and the portfolio committee, the coordination and provision of services by other departments, services to small businesses by other departments, are located, are discussed and agreed and are influenced through the IDP process. That is our bone of contention. And we will need to be convinced that the coordination aspect of that can be done without following that route. Because we have the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, and we then have an integrated development planning that happens at local government level. And if this department has to make sure that all other departments that need to provide services to small businesses are able to do so, the only way of achieving that is for projects and the strategic plan of the department to be known at local government level so that it can appear on the IDP. We want an argument that says it is possible to coordinate all the services that are required. It is possible for this department to coordinate all services that are required, which are sitting in different departments, that are required to develop small businesses and cooperatives without going that route of having the strategic plan of the department aligned to the IDP of a local government. The same applies to monitoring. People can argue and say monitoring and evaluation was at DTI and it's not here. But each and every cooperative and each and every business operates in a particular ward. And what happens in a ward is known at a municipality level. And there is a unit at municipality level called the Local Economic Development Unit, which in our view is more relevant to this department in terms of development of SMMEs and cooperatives. So I would then want your response in terms of the understanding of the core business and the service delivery model of this department and its coordination role, coordination and championing development of SMMEs and cooperatives, which requires other departments to provide services which are their core business, like issuing of water licenses, like upgrading of gravel roads to make those small businesses move their goods and services to the market.
Ma'am, I'm sorry.
Okay, can I just follow up on that one?
Ma'am, I'm quite I'm attending this committee meetings quite most of the time, and I can't recall that we ever saw such service delivery model from the department. So I don't know if there's such model, if it's existence, because I think it's the first time I hear about something. So I don't know if there is a service delivery model in the department, of the department, and if there is, they never mention it. In all their presentation, I never heard once that they mention or refer to the service delivery model. So I just want to know if there is a service delivery model, and if there is one, then can we please get a copy of it or a presentation on it so that everybody can understand and be on the same level of the service delivery model. Thank you, Ma'am Chair.
Madam Chair, yeah, from GPSA side, the department does have a service delivery model. And I think it will be good for the department to present that service delivery model as to how are they going to achieve. Remember, the service delivery model tells you how are you going to achieve and how are you going to deliver your services. I mean, and I fully support the view that's coming from the Honourable Chair. I mean, policy coordination, policy development of SMMEs, coordination of SMMEs, it's part of the structure. It's one of the functions, I think it's branch 2 or 3. There's a branch 3 called Integrated Cooperatives Development. Branch 4 is Enterprise Development, which includes SMMEs. So it's included in the structure. The structure won't give you the targets map. The structure will give you the functions that they're going to perform. The annual performance plan of the department will give you the targets, and we'll need to look at how they manage the both of them. The other thing is, if you take the service, I'm going to look specifically at Department of Small Business Development. If the understanding is that one of the functions that they need to do is the development of SMMEs, another function is the coordination role in terms of government-wide approach, then we ask ourselves, if that's your function, how are you going to do that? And that's the service delivery model will say, how are you going to do it? And if you look at the service delivery model, in most cases, the manner in which you do that is either through regulations, that is an empowering provision for the Minister of Small Business Development through the relevant pieces of legislation that she is responsible for, either issuing regulations to direct other departments to do something. If there's no empowering provision in terms of the legislation that grants that power to the minister to do it, then we have the option for through cabinet processes, through approaching cabinet. The minister can then look at, we want, for example, through the National Treasury and the Procurement Office, to say all departments in terms of procurement to use the following entities or SMMEs, and whatever procurement you do, 40%, 30%, or 25% must come from. So those become targets that are put in place.
Mr. Gavin, don't start at the tray. It would be better if one day you would join the oversight of the portfolio committee. All these things of 40% procurement, what, are very, very good policies. But they are not achievable. If the SMME and cooperative is not at a level of supplying in order to access the 40%, it's a very good policy. On paper, it's not achievable because there is no capacity at SMME and cooperative level. And the reason that there is no capacity, there is no integrated planning that takes place. Forget about the regulation. We already have district, municipalities, and metros mandated to coordinate, integrate the plans of different departments. And in that process, SMMEs and cooperatives are not included in that process. I've been a deputy mayor. We visit all municipalities. The department would have funded the 400 cooperatives that the department funded since its establishment. Are not known by the municipalities. And those cooperatives and SMMEs require the same infrastructure that is required by a bigger business, a big business. They require road infrastructure, they require energy, they require water, they require sanitation, they require telecommunication services. Without those, they cannot development. So let us not talk about the tail end of development of a small business, access to the market. That's not the real issue. Where are they? Where are they? They are not there because even those that are there are not getting adequate services that would not come from this department, that are seated at other departments to facilitate a situation where there is alignment of budget. And the alignment of budget doesn't require any regulation because we already have the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act. So, it's the department then that has to say how it is going to achieve that, which will then inform the structure. And we are saying, from what you are presenting to us, you are also agreeing with us that you do not know the service delivery model of the department, but you are working with them to develop the structure that is not informed by the service delivery model. What does that tell us?
We are aware of the service delivery model. We have a copy of the service delivery model. The structure, remember, it's the department was telling us this is the services they need to provide, this is how they're going to provide it. And we then look at, is the structure responding to that service delivery model? And I agree with all the points you make. I mean, by saying you have a percentage, there's a whole lot of steps one needs to put in place to achieve that, and fully agree. The structure itself will have to respond to ensuring that the department has the support function in place. It has this, and the points the committee has been raising quite clearly from a long time around CIFA and CEDA in terms of ensuring both the financial and the non-financial aspects work together in supporting SMMEs. We need to then ensure in the structure all of those elements are catered for. And that's what the structure is about. It's all of the functions are catered for. And it's not only, and I mean, the point I'm making, the one is the cooperatives and the coordination of the cooperatives. You've got to have that role. The second role is ensuring that you have the function that supports SMMEs to achieve that. The third role is to ensure that there's an element within the structure that deals with the coordination. There must be an element within the structure that deals with the legislative aspect of it, because you've got to create an enabling environment. The fourth area in relation to that is you've got to also monitor on a regular basis that you are getting to where you are getting to, and to pick up any blockages along the way that you can unblock, whether it's from the ministerial level, whether it's cabinet level, whether it's a cluster level, or whatever level that we need to unblock, and you raise those issues. And they are all captured in the structure. Therefore, you have the various elements of it. The element of legislative framework, the element of support, the element of development, the element of monitoring, as well as continuous support that we provide, as well as the element of providing guides and toolkits and so on that we do on a regular basis. All of that will find reflection in the service delivery model, and it will find reflection in the annual performance plan as to what you're going to do to improve it. So those are the steps that are involved in all of it. You're absolutely correct. The IGR Act is also a very clear instrument to ensure we do some of this work, because it allows you to create structures that brings together three spheres of government to ensure in a coordinated way we can deliver, and we can monitor and report, and it's done normally through the PCC, the Presidential Coordinating Committee, in terms of the IGR Act. So there are a number of mechanisms the department can use. Again, those become the service delivery model. The service delivery model of the department says we're going to use the IGR as a vehicle to do this. Then we'll ensure that the structure of the department responds to those issues. And that's the thinking that they need to do. Madam Chair, with your permission, can I continue with the rest of the questions that you raised? Why did it take so long? That's a difficult question for DPSA to answer. The responsibility, remember from the DPSA perspective, when we support the functions, remember we assisted post-2014 what we call the macro organizing of the state. The President announced the disestablishment of departments. He established, he also proclaimed through a proclamation the transfer of functions between departments.
and DPSA then supported to make sure that those functions are transferred and the relevant personnel and budgets and concurrent resources within that function is then appropriately moved across. In the same way, the establishment of a new department and the transfer of concurrent functions in terms of that particular function moving into to establish this department's more business development, we then supported that process. And remember, the main beneficiary in terms of where they received staff and funding from was DTI. So we assisted that process between the two departments to agree on the establishment department, what functions are moving from DTI to small business development, and the resources attached to those functions that are moved, the resources of personnel, funding, etc. But the end of the day, it's an agreement between the Minister for Small Business Development and the Minister for DTI that agreed on that 165. And if I can answer that question, 165 was what was agreed to in terms of the movement, and the staff was then moved. In some cases, it may not be physical people that move across, or warm bodies, it would be the cost of that post, if it was a vacant post on the other side, so that moved across. So all of that was done as part of that agreement in the movement of people. Why it's taken them so long to establish a new structure? As far as DPSA is concerned, when we move you across and create the new department and we sign off on what we call a startup structure, that is a functioning structure for that department until such time the department changes that structure. And that's the work the department has been doing since then to change the structure based on the evolving nature or the mandate of the department, based on a better understanding, based on the improvement of their strategic plan, their business case, on how they're going to deliver all of these things. And that's the evolving nature which they need to do. It's unfortunate that they're taking long. It should have been much earlier and much sooner in terms of getting it done. But Madam Chair, just to alert you to the fact, there are still some departments out there that are still operating on startup structures besides small business development as well. That started in 2014. So there's still one or two other departments.
Can I respond on that one? The performance of a department cannot be measured on the basis of poor performance of other departments. It will be a wrong way of measuring performance of the department. You can't say that because there is one or two or three other departments that are lagging behind, it is okay also for us to lag behind.
Please, ma'am, that was not what I intended.
Yeah,
no.
That's the point I'm making. But also, all departments are put in place because of a need to respond to a particular challenge faced by the country. And if you look at the triple challenges that have been identified in the NDP, poverty and unemployment, and then you also look at the targets of the NDP that are saying 90% of 11 million new jobs will come from small businesses. It then tells you how important this department is in terms of speeding up the process of its own establishment, because that 90% of 11 million new jobs has got also a target of 2030. It also means that this department has to be up to speed in terms of pointing out to Treasury and everybody the amount of resources that are required by this department in order to achieve that, as well as the support that this department would require from other departments, so that those departments can then plan with the 9.9 million new jobs that have to come from small businesses. The same approach that we used for hosting 2010 Soccer World Cup. All departments had to budget according to the what was needed for South Africa to host 2010. And if the time bomb that we are sitting on today as we speak is the high level of poverty and high level of unemployment. This department then becomes very, very crucial.
Maybe that's the interrogation I think the committee is going to have when they receive the service delivery model. Maybe the service delivery model is too mundane. It should be business unusual, 2010 approach. And maybe that's the discussion that needs to take place at that point. The structure is simply a response to how you want to do your work, and that's the department's choice. The point was raised about the organizational design. The organizational design and the organizational structure only follows the strategy. So once the department has finalized the strategy, then only you can determine your design. You can't do it before that. You're saying business unusual, that's a strategic approach to how we want to deliver SMMEs and make sure we ensure job creation and eradicate poverty over a period of time. Yes, there will be changes, and again, the DPME strategy has informed to some extent the service delivery model, and it's also informed the structure going forward. The question around the M&E staff, now when we talk about the 10% around admin staff that needed to come across, the understanding is in terms of that 10%, it will include M&E people as well. To be honest with you, that decision and the movement of staff and so on is between DTI and Department of Small Business Development. Exactly who came across, when they came across, what levels they were, was an agreement between the two departments. Once that agreement is signed and sealed, the department then deal with it. In fact, it's only recently we became aware that all of the staff, and it was when we came to the last portfolio committee meeting. And therefore, there's a need for us as DPSA to intervene together with National Treasury because there's funding responsibilities here. And that's the responsibility DPSA has taken on board to say collectively, we need to meet with DTI, we need to meet with Small Business Development, DPSA together with National Treasury, to ensure that the agreement was followed to the letter, and if there's any shortcomings, to correct those shortcomings. And that's the work we still need to do. There is a bigger debate around development funding institutes in South Africa, and I agree with the Honourable Member in relation, it's not simply about CIFA and CEDA. There's a bigger picture that one needs to take into account. And development funding across South Africa is not only done by CIFA and CEDA, there's a whole range of institutions out there that's supporting DFIs. I know DFIs is part of the reform process of state-owned enterprises and state-owned entities going forward, and this is work that's being done as part of that exercise that's chaired by the Deputy President going forward. I don't know much details about it, but I'm sure further information can be obtained through that reform initiative and looking at development funding institutes and how we manage that process. Local government will automatically form part of that, and yes, they play a huge role, and they are playing a huge supportive role at the local level in terms of supporting small businesses across the board. I think it's the same issue around the startup structure 2014 to 2017. I think it was more in discussion with the department. It was more their evolving strategy, the discussions, the nature of all of that, and the finalization of the movement of personnel, the placement on the structure, which they thought was urgent to complete that exercise first before embarking on anything else. And the clear indication from the department is they've now got a very clear strategy. They've now developed the service delivery model. They've now placed staff on the structure, and it's a question of now moving to the next level. And you'll notice that the startup structure addresses a large chunk of the work. It's just one or two areas that they need to beef up, and that includes the establishment of a further branch and so on. So that work is there. And having said the evolving nature of the structure, and when we say it will most likely be finalized by 1 April 2018, doesn't mean no work is happening, because the structure is there, people are employed, work is happening. So work is happening on a continuous basis. There should be no excuse that I'm not doing something because I don't have the structure in place. The structure is simply a tool. All of the other things must still happen in a department. And the sense we have, DPSA doesn't measure departments, so we don't measure performance of departments. DPME does some of that work. But the role of DPSA is more around human resource management. We provide policies, support tools, we monitor and we assist. But we don't monitor in terms of, there's no big brother role for DPSA in a sense. And that's not the nature of DPSA. The 165 posts indicate, yes, those posts have been moved across. It's not will be. The use of the will there was on the basis that when that agreement was signed, they will be transferred. But subsequent to the agreement, people have come across. And that's the 152 people we're talking about that are there at the moment. The vacancy rate, I'm sure the department can answer some of those questions in terms of what is the current vacancy. As far as we were informed, that 35 vacant posts was as at 28th of September. So my sense is that's a few days ago, so most likely still vacant. It's 35 out of the 178 total posts in the department. I must just clarify the question of five posts returned. There was no post that came across and then returned to DTI. The question was, as part of the agreement, this five post should have moved from DTI to small business. And the question, in that process of movement, those never came across. And so maybe the correct word, it was retained. Will that be a correct word? It was retained by DTI rather than returned. So DTI never transferred those five posts and the resources for that post. So it was never a post that came across and that went.
Can we be clarified here? We had an acting DG in the name of Pumla. She went back to DTI. Is she part of those five posts?
I'm not sure, ma'am.
I'm asking that question specifically to highlight to you that you may not be 100% correct in what you are saying to us, that the five posts were never, it's not that it's people who had moved to the Department of Small Business Development and then went back to DTI. I'm making a specific case here that we know of a person who came from DTI, who was responsible, who was acting DDG. Acting DG, who went back to DTI.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to recall that Pumla actually came from the Export Trade Investment Desk or something like that within DTI. So she actually came, she was one of the people that was in the export function at DTI. But when she went back, I don't know what job she went back to, but perhaps she was included in those five people. No? I see her head shaking. But
I think from outside as DPSA, that's the discussion we want to have between DTI, Small Business Development, to make sure all the posts that was agreed to that needed to move have moved. Because some of them came across on acting arrangements, some of them secondments.
The point that we are making here is that when you come to this portfolio committee and present information, and when you respond to the questions that we are asking, you must be accurate. We should not be the one who are actually saying that's not true. So your engagement with the Department of Small Business and the Department of Trade and Industry should be accurate, informed by what was discussed, what was agreed upon. But over and above that, what is it that was located at DTI, which was designed for development of small businesses and cooperatives, which had to migrate to the Department of Small Business. Because negotiations could short circuit and disadvantage another department. And in our view, we have discussed this at the portfolio committee level, that is, It looks like the negotiations between DTI and small business were not fair to the Department of Small Business, because there are some of the services that remained with DTI when the function of developing small business and cooperatives had actually been migrated. It was no longer the responsibility of DTI. But there are some of the things that remained with DTI. And then DPSA should have seen that, because DPSA is responsible for all. Besides the negotiations, because it's DPSA that has to see that there is duplication here. This function is no longer supposed to be sitting with DTI, or DTI is no longer supposed to be continuing doing this, because this function now belongs to the Department of Small Business Development. Because duplication also comes with duplication of funding, but also it causes confusion on the ground.
Agreed, ma'am. We will definitely go back and interrogate that particular aspect as DPSA. To clarify the issue around chief directors versus DDGs, you'll find on the structure, in terms of, you have two chief directors in program administration, and the two chief directors is chief director financial response, the CFO of the department, and the chief director human resource and facilities. So those are two chief directors. At that level, there's no DDG there. The three branches are at level of deputy director general. So they're not all chief directors. Two of them are chief directors, the rest are DDGs. Again, these are in terms of the job evaluation process and the outcome. In terms of the size of the department, it's very difficult to get heads of corporate services or heads of CFOs and HRMND at the level of DDGs. So therefore, they are chief directors and the others are DDGs. But remember, in terms of responsibilities, your head of or the CFO reports directly to the DG. So therefore, they're on the same line. The CFO must report to the accounting officer, who's the DG of the department. And that's how it's managed in that regard. The coordinating role, I think we've discussed that in terms of transversal agreements, departments, SOEs, and small businesses. It's covered under branch 3, but maybe we need to unpack it. And remember, this is still at a very high level. There are further functions as we go further down, and that needs to be dealt with. The discussions that we've had with the department around CIFA and the transfer, I think that's a matter that the department is dealing with, the Department of Small Business Development, in discussion with other relevant departments. And the indications are that they're going to deal with this through a very clear business case, and that's the engagement at that level. I'm sure the department will be able to give further clarity. The change to the name to include the element of cooperative, the simple response to that is the Minister of Public Service and Administration is responsible to approach the President to issue an amendment to the schedules of the Public Service Act. So if the department, through the Minister for Small Business Development, wishes to change the name to be Small Business Development and Cooperative Development, or Small Business Development and Cooperatives, they simply need to make that political decision and write back to the minister to approach the president to amend the schedule to change the name. I know there was a request in 2014, very early in 2014, to change the name, but at that stage the president felt it was too early to change the name because we just announced the new name in 2014 and it was delayed. But the decision is entirely up to the department. on whether they want to change it. But the decision to change it rests with the president. So it will go to the president to approve through a presidential minute to amend or not to amend. Just DPSA plays a coordinating role there as well. So whether a province wants to change the Schedule 2 of the Public Service Act, which names all the departments and the heads, they write to the DPSA, we prepare the presidential minutes, it goes to the president for a decision in this regard.
Okay. Oh, on that score, that was the first issue that was raised by the portfolio committee. When the strike plan of the department was presented, and the minister responded by saying that she was going to process that. Subsequent to that, the portfolio committee would raise this question, and the response that we received was that a submission had been made, and then the president was going to respond to that. It's news to us that there was a feeling that it was too early. We never got that information. And as of yesterday, I was at the airport, OR Tambo. I met with two representatives of SANAC who were saying, they also made a presentation to the minister for the name of the department to reflect cooperatives. Reason being that the department, when the function of developing SMMEs and cooperatives was in DTI, the focus was more on SMMEs. And even now that there is a standalone department, there is more focus on SMMEs. And they were then saying, the only thing that we get as a structure that represents cooperatives in South Africa is to organize and be part of the Cooperatives International Day. Meaning that as much as cooperatives are one of the three pillars of the mixed economy that South Africa is, they are not treated as such. They receive the breadcrumbs, they are not seen as a priority for facilitating participation of communities in their own development. Which means the key role of cooperatives is misunderstood. And then the call for the change of the name is based on that to say, this is one of the pillars of a mixed economy that South Africa aspires to be.
Madam Chair, just to indicate, the ball is in the court of the department in terms of the name change. DPSA will facilitate when we do receive that request from the department.
Apart from the department's strategic planning sessions, I don't know how many they had before, but we must also remember that this committee also had a strategic planning session for more than 2 weeks, which was funded by the taxpayer, by the way. And I don't know if the department or your department ever saw that the outcome of that strategic planning session, because there was also part of that strategic plan, there was a wish list, which we said to for this department to be functional, this and this and this and this must happen from the politician side. I mean, and I'm wondering now if
if your department never saw that strategic plan, I don't know if the department ever saw that strategic plan, but what was the use then, spending all this money and time, if it was a fruitless exercise?
Yes, that strategic plan was also was going to be useful for the department and the Department of Public Service and Administration to look at it, but it is more important for us to use as a tool for holding the department accountable. It's a tool that we can use even now for the budget review recommendations report, together with the oversight reports, to then influence if we feel that the budget, the strat plan that is presented to us by the department has left out some of the issues that are raised in our strat plan and also some of the things that we have observed on the ground and made recommendations on. We can then use that information to influence the amendment of the strat plan that the department will be presenting to us. That is what that is needed for, mainly.
No, I understand that 100%, but also we can't hold the department accountable on things that they don't know about. So that's what I'm saying. Surely that document, they should know what's in that document. And that department is also supposed to know what's in that department. Otherwise, we can't, you know, we can't keep it a secret and then just take it out when we need to whip the departments. I mean, that's not how it works. So, and that's what I'm saying. If the department don't know about it, or the two departments, then I see a big problem. Then I can see it's a fruitless exercise, was a fruitless exercise.
All documents adopted by the portfolio committee are put on the ATC, and once that has been done, they become documents that have to be used. So I agree with you, Honorable Cook, that they need to know what is in our strat plan, because that is what we are going to be using to hold them accountable. If they don't know, they run a risk of coming to us to present a strat plan that doesn't take into consideration of what is in our strat plan and also what is in our oversight report as recommendations. They then run a risk of the portfolio committee not agreeing with them in terms of the strategic plan that they will be presenting, which is the exercise that we are dealing with as we speak now, the budget review recommendations report, because the budget review recommendations report is a product of this process, which will say, yes, we agree with what has been presented by the department because it takes care of all these things that we think are important. Or we don't agree because this and this and this and this is a priority and the department has overlooked that. Honorable Chant.
Thanks, Chair. Just to get back to the presentation, I couldn't see any reference under the Branch 2 Integrated Cooperative Development to the Cooperative Development Agency and the Cooperative Development Bank, which in a sense are the equivalent of CEDA and CEFA for cooperatives. Now, the Cooperatives Act makes provision for these two entities to be established. They haven't been established. which means that this department or this branch is going to be cut off at the knees, in a sense, before it even gets off the ground. It also raises the question, which came up in the program review that was done at the end of 2015, that the department needs to focus on breadth rather than depth, and that the depth should be the job of the agencies. In other words, implementation of programs should be the job of the agencies, not the job of the department. And frankly, the department doesn't have the capacity, really, to implement programs. It can design programs, but implementation is not its strong point. So, is the department of the DPSA and the Department of Small Business Development making a case to Treasury for the capacitation of the CDA and the CDB? And if so, with what degree of capacitation? And if not, why not?
Unfortunately, I can't answer that question. I think the principle is right. And I think the point that was raised earlier, the strategic plan document would have covered some of these things. And we will definitely communicate with the Secretariat to get a list of that strategic plan from the Portfolio Committee to make sure that the structure accounts for all of those areas in terms of our assessment at that point. But in terms of the request from the Department to National Treasury, as DPSA, I'm not aware of it at this moment.
One quick follow-up.
It just related to that. What is the reporting chain of CFER and CEDA? Do they report, in terms of the structure, do they report to the DG, or do they report to Branch 3, or not? Who ultimately, or do they report to the Minister? Because there's nothing in this structure which references that.
Able to best respond, but it's something we DPSA will have to look into. From our side, I mean, integrated cooperative development will include both the funding aspect, the development aspect, the financial and the non-financial. So all of those functions will have to be reflected somewhere, as well as the enterprise development and entrepreneurship will have to be catered for all of these aspects. And what is the link between the department and these DFIs at the end of the day? So that relationship, we'll have to ensure that they capture adequately in the structure.
I just want to make an input in relation to the budget review and recommendations report. And relate that to the fact that it seems like the strat plan of the portfolio committee has not been seen. I could be wrong, but I want to emphasize this point. Parliament is members of Parliament represent communities. The departments account to Parliament, and portfolio committees look at whether what the departments are saying they are going to do, this is how they are going to spend the money, will actually address what members of Parliament understand to be the needs of the people that they represent. So, committees are not there to rubber stamp strategic plans of departments if those strategic plans don't address the needs of the people we are representing here. So, in the past, there was no budget review recommendations report process. It was brought in place because of misalignment of programs of departments with the felt needs of the people. And if the portfolio committee has been on the oversight visit and came across the felt needs, has also engaged with the people that have been provided with services and they have raised their issues, which indicated that although these services are there, but they are not adequately addressing the needs. Portfolio committees will then make recommendations for departments to take into consideration of the fact that as much as there are these programs, but the actual reality is that those programs are not addressing the felt needs, therefore they need to be reviewed. And if then the department would come back to the portfolio committee without having taken that into consideration, it will create a conflict between the department and the portfolio committee. Because the portfolio committee would be expecting that the department is presenting what is going to address what has been identified as a felt need. It also becomes very, very important for the Department of Public Service and Administration to understand what each portfolio committee is saying to each department, so that when the Department of Public Administration, Public Service and Administration is interacting with the departments, it is also able to understand whether the department is responding to. I'm not sure whether I am raising unrealistic expectations from the work that the Department of Public Service and Administration is doing. But the point that I'm making here is that the work of the Portfolio Committee is to hold the department accountable, to make the department relevant, this one, to small businesses and cooperatives. And we will do that without fear and favor.
Ma'am, thank you. I fully agree. I mean, all of the comments from Portfolio Committee, when the department is developing their structure, when they're signing off their structure, they must do all of that work. DPSA tries as far as possible, based on all of the relevant information, to make a decision. And I think one of the things we've clearly identified, even in the last meeting, that this interaction with the Portfolio Committee as DPSA has been very, very enlightening for DPSA, so that when we do receive the structure, we'll make sure all of these things are catered for. But it doesn't happen with all of the portfolio committees. The other reality is that the decision to approve a structure rests with the relevant executive authority, not with the Minister for Public Service and Administration. We simply provide support and guidance around the structure, but the decision to approve a structure is eventually at that EA level.
Honourable Chair.
Sorry to harp on this point, Chair, but my question hasn't been answered. In terms of the CDA and CDB. And Mr. Governor, you said earlier on that this structure was developed in close cooperation with the department. So, you know, the DG has been conspicuous in her silence. Maybe she could enlighten us as to why there's no reference to these two entities in terms of the cooperatives branch and what is being done by the department to ensure that these entities are capacitated.
Chair, specific function of the Integrated Cooperatives Branch. Everything that I don't see why CDA and the structures that Honourable Chance refers to should be reflected on our structure. A specific function, if you look at the functions of that branch, says to provide for the establishment and or the oversight and governance of the institutional arrangements provided for in the Cooperatives Development Act. That is one of the functions of why we have the branch.
Sorry, Chair.
I don't think that's an adequate response, TG, I'm sorry. I mean, as I said, you've got the branch 3, which has two agencies established, one looking after finance, one looking after support. Surely there's got to be some reference to the agencies to effect the same services in terms of the cooperatives branch. I mean, does the department not even reflect the provisions of the Cooperatives Act and the Cooperatives Banking Act? You know, it's just strange to me that there's absolutely no reference to those two capacitating agencies, which surely would have to exist if the department is taking cooperatives seriously.
Chair, I don't agree with Honourable Chance that this, there must be a director or a chief directorate that says this is the chief directorate looking after or responsible for CDIS, CFA, the CDA or any of those structures. There are two levels at which governance happens. There was a question around who meets with the cooperatives or with the entities. There are the accounting, as per the PFMA, the accounting authority, the accounting officer, the entities have to report to the accounting officer who advises the minister, who is the executive authority. So I have quarterly governance forums with the entities. We then provide the minister advice when the minister, as the executive authority, meets quarterly with the accounting authority that is a board that is at a different level. So that's in terms of governance. In terms of the technical work, the implementation work, because as honourable members know, a significant percentage of our budget, something like, I think, 56% of our budget, is transferred to CEDA. And a lot of that information and the work around that happens at a branch level, and it's part of our functions. We will not reflect CEDA in mentioned CEDA as one of the targets. It's part of our responsibilities in terms of governance. So in the same way, yes, the Cooperatives Development Act provides for the establishment of a Cooperatives Development Agency. So in the Kenny, as the governor has said earlier, the structure does not state the targets, but in the targets of the that we have in this year, for example, there is provision for the approval of the business case on the Cooperative Development Agency, etc., etc. So that is just how it has been provided for, Chairperson.
I think that we need to further engage on this when the department is making a presentation. On one hand, I hear what the DG is saying. On the other hand, I hear the concern that is being raised by Honourable Chance. Because under this program, there are three units. And the purpose for each unit is spelled out in this document, slide number 11. And below the purpose, there are functions that are spelled out for each of the units. And the Cooperative Development Agency will not establish itself. The department has to establish the Cooperative Development Agency. Also, the department still has the responsibility of holding the Cooperative Development Agency accountable in the same way that when we went to Mpumalanga as a portfolio committee, we suspected that there was fraud and corruption around Super Grant. And we recommended that a forensic investigation be done. And we said we are going to do our own. The CIFA board, because it provides oversight on the officials of CIFA, instituted their own internal forensic investigation, and it confirmed what we had seen. We would have expected that a unit in the Department of Small Business was also providing oversight on CIFA. The fact that it is the portfolio committee that discovered what should have been discovered by the board of CIFA and what should have been discovered by the department which provides oversight on CIFA indicates that the point raised by Honorable Chan is very, very important. I think that most of the questions have been responded to, unless members have picked up that there are questions that they asked which have not been responded to. I will give them an opportunity to indicate if that is the case, and then after that we will thank the Department of Public Service and Administration and then move to the next point. Are all the questions responded to?
Yeah, I think so, Chair. Except for the last point, but I don't think we're going to get an answer on that. But I think, again, going back to the point I was making earlier about the program review, I think that there's a danger with functional creep in any organization. There is a tendency towards functional creep. In other words, entities justify themselves by expanding their roles and building empires. We must make sure that this department avoids that. And again, I want to emphasize the difference that was taken up in the program review, which is the department and the agencies must understand their respective roles, and they mustn't overlap, because it creates duplication, wastage, and fruitless expenditure. And I reiterate the point about the CDA and the CDB, and that the branch two mustn't fall into the trap of trying to do the work of what an agency should be doing. Hence my question.
Chair, I just want to point out that slide 11 says exactly what I said earlier. It said the purpose of the Integrated Cooperatives Branch, among other, the last line under purpose, is the establishment and governance of the institutional arrangements provided for in the Cooperatives Development Act. Then there's a unit on cooperatives development. As Kenny had said, At this point, we just say a unit because the post-sap wants to be evaluated, and that will be determined whether it's a directorate or a chief directorate. But it says there again, and among other, that this will be the establishment and governance of the institutional arrangement provided for in the Act, and we inclusive of the establishment of agencies and tribunals, and then it will offer the cuts. I think we provide for it in the functions. And similarly, governance oversight of the entities is provided for in the chief directorate and the ODG. So I just wanted to, I don't know what the difference of opinion is here.
I'm just finding it a bit strange, DG, that there's no specific reference to those two entities, because why wouldn't there be? I mean, you know... They are going to be the implementing agencies of the department's policy. And I'd like to know if in the budget for the forthcoming financial year we are going to see provision made for the establishment and the operation of those entities.
All I can say, Chair, we made a business case to Treasury. Part of our business case in our budget submission was for the CDA, and as I sit here now, the provisional information we've received, we haven't received any funding for that.
DG, will it be a trials match? Will anybody die if that was to be reflected in here, that part of the functions of one of these units is to facilitate the establishment of the Cooperative Development Agency and to facilitate the establishment of the Cooperative Training Academy? Will it be a transmission? Will anybody die if that was to be included here? Question to the...
For me, that seems like a target and not a function, the establishment. The structure provides for functions. And the establishment of the CDA or the establishment of the tribunal doesn't seem like a function because it's something that you work towards and it happens. But I think I hear what you're saying. The committee wants the assurance that the department will prioritize that. And in my view, that I think Kelly explained earlier how the function, the service delivery model and the structure works. And I think, in my view, it is something we should be having in our APP. But I can change some of the words. We also said earlier, this is a draft, and if that is going to give some harmony and it makes sense to be in there, I think we can consider putting it in there, Chairperson.
So, in other words, it doesn't kill anyone. What it does is that it brings us closer in terms of knowing that it will be done and it will be achieved. Remember, DG, the decision to have these entities was taken in 2005. It's not a new thing. So that is why it is the concern to the members of the Portfolio Committee, because if it is not reflected, it may easily be forgotten. And if it doesn't kill anyone to have it reflected, it brings us closer to making it happen. Okay. One of the most important things here is to acknowledge the value added when a point is made by a person who is looking at issues from a blind spot. And the point that is being made by Honorable Chan is that A, there is a blind spot here. There is this important, there are these two important entities which in terms of the act should have been there long time ago. But because they have not been appearing anywhere in the document as something that has to be achieved by at a particular time, they have then not been prioritized. And the result of that is our inability as a country to reverse the 88% failure rate of cooperatives in this country. If in 2009, when we realized that there was 88% failure rate, we looked at what would have been the results if there was a cooperative training academy and a cooperative development agency, we would have prioritized this. That's all we are trying to say here. Thank you. If there are no further comments and questions, can we give Mr. Govender a moment to round up so that we can close this?
Madam Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, DG, again, I think from DPSS's side, we want to acknowledge with appreciation this interaction because it helps us to strengthen the advice and support we provide to the department in finalizing the structure. We've noted all of the points that have been raised, and we'll see how best to integrate and to make sure that the structure responds to what the portfolio committee is looking for. We will also request the secretariat to assist us with the strategic plan that the portfolio committee engaged with to assist us. And we'll continue our work with the department to ensure we achieve what the committee is looking for. Thank you, Manager.
Thank you very much. From our side, we really value the work that is done by the Department of Public Service and Administration. We appreciated the fact that in your presentation, you are also making reference of what was raised by the Portfolio Committee in our previous engagement. And we don't believe in working in silos. And we think that our continuous engagement and also raising issues and including means and ways of addressing those issues will make us much better in terms of providing services than we would if we were not engaging and we were not listening to one another. Thank you very much. We have a short break to allow the Department of the Auditor General to prepare its presentation. There's fresh tea at the back.